Today's news. Hello, welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. Or in this particular case, through the wonderful Here is the News, a chronicle of the 20th century, largely compiled by our very own, the late great Terry Kringle. Wonderful book if you've never seen it. Open it and you'll still be there an hour or two later. Like this story, for example, from 1917, prisoners planning a mass breakout from Lakalo. A planned mass breakout next year, it would have been 1918, towards the end of the war, from the prisoner of war internment camp Lakalo has been uncovered. The audacious plan could have led to considerable fighting on the island and a naval engagement offshore. Can you imagine? Intelligence sources suggested that internees were planning to seize a Manx steamer and sail it to Germany, surrounded by a protective screen of U-boats. Now that the plot has been discovered by British intelligence, however, security has been tightened sufficiently to make a breakout impossible. Never say impossible, I'd have thought. It goes on, it's believed that the German military prepared plans recently for 6 U-boats to go to Manx waters between the 29th of March and the 2nd of April 1918. Their arrival was planned to coincide with a breakout from Lakalo. U-boat commanders were told to stop the passage of all vessels in the area, presumably British warships, other than a particular one from the Isle of Man. This, they were advised, would be carrying a large number of Germans who planned to break out from the Lakalo camp. The Manx government secretary, Bertram Sargent, confirms that a marked naval chart of the Irish Sea has been found by camp guards. It was hidden in a false bottom of a box sent to one of the internees. Its origin has not been disclosed, but Archie Knox, the Manx artist who leads a unit responsible for intercepting smuggled messages, yes, I bet you never knew that about Archie Knox either, has confirmed that messages and German newspapers have been found in tin foods and sausages sent to internees via agencies in neutral countries. It all sounds like a mix between James Bond and a lower load, doesn't it? Locally based enemy agents is another possible source. Several have been caught. One was found operating a lamp on the coast at night, signalling, it's believed, to U-boats. The article goes on to say the British authorities played down the likely risks to the community. Most prisoners are civilian, they say. However, with upwards of 30,000 of them crowded into 2 internment camps, one at the former Cunningham's Holiday Camp in Victoria Road, Douglas, and the other at Lakalo, the possibility exists that among them there are many potential fighters for the hard-pressed fatherland. When the Lusitania was sunk by a German U-boat in May 1915, some of them were heard to cheer the news. They have disturbing military tendencies too, it's claimed. The first internees brought to Douglas and Peel by steamer marched to their prisons with a military step and some to their own music. At Lakalo, they even made dummy wooden rifles and used them for drilling until the Home Secretary intervened. Lakalo, of course, once a popular site as a camp for visiting territorial army regiments. Now a huge wooden township of 26,000 internees plus 2,500 guards makes it the biggest internment camp ever established by Britain. It's so big that a railway line for the delivery of food and coal had to be specially built from Peel. Electricity fed from a gas-powered generator at the Glenfaber Brickworks. The camp divided into compounds 100 yards square, usually 1,000 internees to each. A compound consists of 5 huts, a kitchen, a recreation room, a bathhouse and latrines. Cinder roads have been strengthened with railway sleepers. Initially, the camp was limited to 5,000, but the sinking of the Lusitania so increased public hostility to anyone of German extraction that the rounding up in Britain of enemy aliens was intensified. They included entire orchestras, so internees are enjoying high-quality concerts. And apparently there were several camp orchestras. According to the American press, Lakalo is an experiment in communal feeding. The average weekly cost for each internee has been put at $2. That's weekly, not daily cost. Catering has been contracted out to Douglas Cafe proprietor Arthur Binns Crookle, but doctors are studying the diet and making changes according to experience. The cooking is being undertaken by internees, some of whom are the finest chefs from the biggest hotels and restaurants in Britain. Indeed, at one time, the meals of internees were considered so superior to those served at the British officers' mess, officers had their English cook discharged and replaced by one of the internees. Well, it was war, wasn't it? Many of the internees being put to work, of course, some making brushes for supply to a company which used to import German products. The government secretary, Bertram Sargent, says that gangs of 50 internees are doing quarrying and roadwork for the highway board. Gangs of 100 are helping to reclaim wasteland for agricultural use. Sulby River has been widened and deepened. And according to Archie Knox, yes, he the painter, the workers are mainly Austrians and Serbians. Sons of the fatherland, we're told, do not work. Many artistic internees are making and selling souvenirs of the camp. These include carved bones and brassware made from shell cases. Officially, internees have been banned from using British currency ever since the discovery on escapees of large amounts of money which would have sustained them whilst at large. Now they're restricted to using camp vouchers for trading. Illicit trading does happen, though, not surprisingly, both with the guards and Manx people. A single cigarette can be sold in the compounds for sixpence. For one cigarette, it'd be a lot in those days. Every internee is expected to have a glass of whiskey this Christmas, 1917, according to Mr. Knox, because there's so much stored in the compounds. Upwards of 2,500 parcels arrived at the camp every day. This rises to 5,000 at Christmas and Whit. At first, it says, these contained first-rate quality food, each item tied up in white paper with a coloured ribbon and a flower, mainly a piece of heather. The contents have been reduced now, however, to just bread and potatoes in respect of parcels from home. Red Cross parcels usually contain only a piece of sausage and a bag of meal packed with shavings in a box made to hold six times the quantity. Accompanying letters say, "Don't grouse. It's the best we can do for you." Well, happily, they didn't escape, perhaps just as well. Can you imagine? And the very fact that there were secret letters and people signalling to U-boats off the Manx coast makes you realise just what a dangerous time it was. Seems a long way away now to those of our generation. Or my generation, should I say. For the current generation must be ancient history. Whatever it was, it's now old news, of course. We'll be back looking at the news and things of interest in local news and old takes on that next week. And until then, cheerio.
You're gonna be yesterday's news.